for the older guys who were living there, I mean, was there, were they just paying rent for night by night, or was there, I mean, did they have like a lease? Do you know?
I think they could pay by the month.
Uh huh.
But it was based, somehow I recall 25 cents a night.
Yeah.
And I don't recall when that was, but you could pay by the week, the month, or the day.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the old guys basically paid by the month. I mean, they were there to stay.
Yeah.
And like Bob Boyd, he paid by the month.
Mm.
And
would guys pass away in the building? I mean, do you ever remember that happening?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that happened.
Somebody come and pick them up, and
SCI had a little plot someplace.
Yeah, in Evergreen Cemetery. In a few cemeteries they had plots. Yeah,
yeah. I believe they got the plots. Wealthy people uptown.
Yeah.
Would donate plots.
Thank God for those wealthy people uptown.
Right? You got it. It was always the uptown people.
Yeah.
I think they had the plots.
Mm-hmm.
Or perhaps the church had the plots. And there was the four main doors where you went in. And then further down, there was another door near the chapel.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going in one time, and I saw people leaving that door.
Yeah.
And carrying a large box. So,
wow, yeah.
So, you know, they had a mass for this individual, religious service.
Right.
And he passed away in a room and at night, and they had a service for him maybe around 10 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And he was dispatched shortly thereafter.
Mm-hmm.
So on his last voyage.
Right.
So
and he, you know, he probably didn't have family or money to pay for his own plot.
Exactly.
So that's what, yeah.
Because I believe when you stayed, I never stayed overnight at SCI.
Uh-huh.
But I believe when you signed up, it was a next of kin.
Right, yeah.
And if there was no next of kin, then you just got buried.
Yeah.
Hmm. So.
We have those burial records, cemetery records of who's buried there. So that's, yeah.
Yeah.
Not completely anonymous, anyway.
Yeah, maybe I'll go back and look for old friends.
Right. you talked about the disabled seamen. That's interesting that they were kind of a presence in the building, guys who couldn't work anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, they were always around.
Yeah. And they would have, you know, what kind of injuries are we talking about? Kind of.
There were some guys who had didn't have an arm.
Yeah.
So their shirt was just sort of pinned back or sewn back.
Right.
And then there were the two guys who had the peg legs. And
These were all work-related injuries, I'm assuming.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And most of those, you know, the two peg leg guys, they modified their own pants.
Uh-huh.
You know, to address their peg legs.
Right.
And, you know, so it was, you know, a very self-reliant crowd. Nobody was crying, oh, poor me. You know, it was just, this is what it is, here I am, and let's get on with it.
Do you know, I mean, what was the, this was the 60s, in terms of disability, if you were working for a shipping company, would it depend on your contract?
If you were American flag, you were covered.
Okay, but it depended on
the flag. And you belong to a union, most likely.
Right.
The foreign seafarers, you know, like the two peg leg chaps, I believe both of them were Scandinavian.
Uh-huh.
And there were a number of people running around with a missing hand or a missing arm.
Yeah. And you don't know, because they would have been less.
Or on a crutch.
On a crutch, yeah. Something had happened.
So, something had happened.
And they might not have been covered because they weren't a part of the American Union system?
Could be. I don't know.
Yeah.
But they never complained about their injuries. I mean, they just dealt with it.
Yeah.
You know, it was no whining. It was just, you know, injuries were part of the risk of being a seafarer.
Right.
And if you was unfortunate enough to have an injury, you dealt with it.
Right, so. Right, right.